Oh, this is already a disaster. Welcome to the podcast.
Why would you ever think that you should have me talk?
Well, other people? I said no to having you on the podcast, but Aaron was very
so
persistent.
I wasn't insisting. Jimmy said something, and then Jesse said something to him on Twitter, and then I responded from our account and said, well, come on the show then if you want to talk about it. That's the only thing I said.
I politely declined twice. So this is all your fault.
So how did you get here? Why are you here?
But I do really want to talk about the movie. So thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Welcome to After the Movies. This is our Batman episode. It's a big one. I'm excited to talk about this movie. I'm your host, Aaron Muck. I'm here with my co-host, James Lombardo. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm Vengeance.
Oh, God. All right.
I thought I was Vengeance.
No, you're Justice. I'm Vengeance.
Oh, okay.
And I am Shame. All right. Where do we even want to start with this one? So I went to see this. I wasn't going to see this in theaters. It's very long, which is okay.
We all have such like weird, like sad ways to go watch this film. It's nice. It's wholesome.
It was nice. So as explained previously in the last episode, I have a new job. And so in my remaining days before, you know, having to start, I said, I would like to treat myself to a day at the movies. So I'm going to go by myself. I'm going to get a big popcorn and a Coke Zero, and I'm going to go see the Batman. And then if my ass doesn't hurt, then I'm going to stick around and see X. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. So I saw this alone, and I was actually the only person in the theater, and it was the biggest theater. It was like a nice afternoon showing. Jesse, I heard you also went alone. Oh, we have a guest today. I guess I should say that. We have a guest today. You probably recognize him from the sketches on the channel.
I am Vengeance.
He is Vengeance. He's also Mode 2.0. He is Jesse Arkwright, and he's here to also talk about the Batman. I heard you went to go see this by yourself as well.
I did, yeah. So I realized that I kind of missed the window to see this movie with people that I like by about 2 weeks. So
yeah,
I just pulled the trigger on it and went, had a wonderful time by myself. Didn't have to be annoyed by, you know, people talking or not laughing at my little jokes that I make throughout the movie. I could laugh at them myself.
Right. Yeah. And I did. I will say, I'm curious to hear about where your little jokes, because there was a couple points in this movie where I laughed out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, how did this come about that you went to go see this? Because we weren't planning on covering this today.
I, in a weird turn of events, well, not weird, it was nice, it was wholesome. My mom, so I went back to visit my family this weekend, and throughout my childhood, my mom was a big movie fan and got me into movies, and we watched a lot of the Batman movies together, so she asked me if I'd go see the Batman with her, and I said, yes, of course, Mom, I'll go watch it with you. So I went and watched it with my mom.
Nice.
That is nice. That's very wholesome. More importantly than anything that we have to say, because the three white guys talking about Batman on a podcast, did your mom like the movie?
Yeah, she did. I think it was, I think the 3-hour movie was a little bit of a haul for her, but she definitely managed through it. I had to look over a couple times to make sure she wasn't sleeping, but she did good.
My dad does this thing where every summer, he will take my mom to the movies, and you think it's like a really cute thing, but it's because they don't have air conditioning, and he'll pick whatever the longest movie is, and then he'll just fall asleep. And so my mom is stuck watching like Transformers 6 or whatever.
Your dad's a man of simple pleasures, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, aren't we all?
I see where you get it.
Yes, absolutely. So before this, we talked about the Vengeance line, which gave me pause. And whenever we have guests on, we definitely want to give them the floor. Although I am kind of curious to see how our thoughts differ on this. So kind of just getting into general thoughts, what was your reaction to this, Jesse? Was it a roller coaster, or were you immediately like...
I'd like to think that the joke, I am Vengeance, like that being a meme at this point, is one of the reasons why I didn't like the movie and I thought I really would. I thought the cinematography was great. I thought the action sequences were awesome. I thought the pace of the movie was wonderful. I liked the longer, slower cuts. I liked how they took the time to let the scenes really settle. But the one way I could...
Oh, you can keep going, Aaron. Back up from your bike.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The one thing that could I could say, and I didn't really know what it was I was feeling until after the movie, was that it made me frustrated. Like as the movie was going on, because I felt like it had all the structural pieces were there to make the movie incredible, and it just wasn't. It wasn't focused on the right thing. So the reason that the I Am Vengeance thing is a joke is because that's the whole plot of the character arc of Batman through the whole thing, is that he's hell-bent on vengeance, and then at the end he's like, oh, I'm not the only person who's hurting, you know, I need to help other people to help them, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't spend any time really establishing Batman's character at all. The only establishing moments were just like him brooding, you know? So like the last 15 minutes of the movie come up and he's changed, but we never really knew what he was before, you know? So like, why do I care?
I feel like, personally, I agree with you a little bit. I do feel through the Falcone interactions, we see a lot about who he is and who he's become after his parents. At least in my opinion, I think a lot of those Falcone scenes with him really start to explain a lot of what's happening and kind of like a lot of his backstory and why he feels the way he does. At least for me,
I think I would agree with both of you in a way. I think that we don't see enough of his personal growth as an individual, like from his perspective. But what's interesting that this movie did that kind of shocked me, because I wasn't really expecting this level of thought in like a superhero movie, not trying to be like sound like a dick, but you see his transformation from like an outsider perspective. Like the way that his arc is that people around him view him as a rich prick. And at the end of the movie, when he goes to help people out of the arena, when it's like flooded, they're like hesitant at first. And that's kind of like the completion of his arc, is that like eventually someone takes his hand and they trust Batman and he leads them out. And so like, I like that arc. I think it's interesting for people to come around on him as a character. I just wish that we got to see more of him from his point of view, as opposed to like an outsider's perspective on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of my point, is that like it felt like it was supposed to be this triumphant moment at the end when he, you know, sacrifices himself to fall into the water and, you know, keep the people from being electrocuted. But when that scene happened, I was like, why do I care? Like you haven't established that that's not something that he would do.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
Self-sacrifice,
yeah.
The self-sacrifice means nothing because you haven't taken the time to make me think that he is a selfish prick. Right?
Yeah.
Which is especially, like, any flaw that this movie has is kind of, like, doubled by its runtime. Which, again, I don't mind. I also thought that the pacing was great. I was shocked. Like, by the time the second half of the movie rolled around, and I saw that I had, like, half an hour left when I was sitting in the theater, I was like, man, this actually moved by really quick. I thought it was... The runtime didn't bother me. But when you... Those story details and those problems become bigger issues when it's like, you had 2 hours and 45 minutes to do this, you know, like, why is this thing missing, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, historically, we all know me, I don't feel any film should be 3 hours long, with the exception of a few, and this one is no different. I don't think this had any business.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yep, that should have been a 4 hour film. But, no, I just feel
there's a sequel. They gave it the Tarantino cut where they put parts one and two of All Dogs Go to Heaven, Kill Bill style, into like a 4-hour film.
But I just feel like this one, they could have shortened it to maybe 2.5 hours. Was the pacing bad in my opinion? No, I would agree with both of you that the pacing was fine. It didn't feel like a 3.5-hour movie. There were just some scenes that I think went on a little bit too long. And they could have tightened it up a little bit. Or they could have tightened it up a little bit and spent that time maybe giving us more of a backstory. You know, use the time a little bit more wisely would have been fine. But overall, I will say I did enjoy this movie. I liked it. It was nice seeing something different from the Batman. We've seen at this point, I don't know, at least a dozen Batman films at this point. So it was nice to see a fresher take on it. I was the first one to admit when Aaron and I, months ago, when this first came out, I think on one of the podcasts, I said, enough of this shit. We don't need another Batman movie. But with that being said, I did, at the end of the day, I did enjoy this movie, and kind of similar to, I like the way that the Joker, the new Joker movie, took a spin on the Joker. I like how they kind of spun Batman in a different light, as opposed to the Playboy Bruce Wayne saving the world type
thing. Yeah, and I mean, I do think it's one of the problems with Batman as a franchise for movies is that it's been done so many times, and every time it's been done from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
This movie is no exception. So you have to do a new, like a fresh take on it. In my head, Batman has always been like a noir detective. So like this was the closest movie representation to my like headcanon.
I like how we didn't have to start the first 15 minutes of him as a kid coming out of a play, watching his parents get shot. We already know that. We've all experienced that. So I really enjoy the fact that they just skipped right over it. Because we already know his parents are dead. I mean, we know this. We've all seen Batman before, so I'm glad they didn't make us all feel dumb and have to watch a new way that his parents got killed. I do appreciate that.
I actually have thoughts on like where I would, not to regress the conversation too much, but like on where I would cut things. And it's almost exclusively at the end of the movie. I do think the first 30 minutes or had me like unsure. I also enjoyed this movie. I didn't know that I was going to. I was like unsure for the first 30 minutes, and then I got into it. And then I just kind of had some gripes at the end. So it grew on me as the movie kind of went on. But the big things that I would cut, I did not personally like that we got a teaser for like a sequel movie within the movie. I was like, if it's a good, like, just let a thing be a thing. Because if the movie's good, that's all I need to get excited about the next one. You don't need to tease Joker sequel in this movie that I'm enjoying. Nope. And then, the other thing that I think I would have cut is, like, the image of him helping the people through the water and the colored lighting was so striking. And then right after that scene, you get his, like, final journal entry and they play Something in the Way Again. It could have lopped off that should have been the end of the movie. Like, I didn't really need the Catwoman in the graveyard scene. I didn't, there's kind of like epilogue-y stuff that I just felt
is like, that when they all is like, good. Is that when they both drive off and they make the two separate? I think you could have scrapped that completely.
And so I didn't hate it, but I thought that that's maybe where some time could have been.
That leads right into what I think is one of the reasons why the movie does feel so unfocused. Because like I said, all of the parts were there for the character development of Batman. It just wasn't like, it wasn't put center stage. You know, it was like almost like an afterthought. And I think after they shot this movie, they were like, oh, this is good. Like, this is good. Like, people are going to like this. How can we make sure that we establish other characters? And like, they went out of their way to do this world building because they knew that they're definitely going to make a Catwoman movie, right? So like, they can't have Catwoman not show up for the last 45 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And have her not be present, right? So they had to like end on that note. They had to make sure that the Joker was
for sure, you know,
shown. So like I feel like they had a great, they had a structure, they had an idea, they had an image of what they wanted this movie to be, and then kind of like blurred their focus in yeah. order to world build for what they want to be a franchise.
Well, yeah, and to that point too, sorry, Jimmy, just because to tail onto that real quick, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts too. That was one of the first thoughts I had when we see the Riddler attack the senator or whoever at the beginning of the movie. And when they go to the crime scene, they're like, oh, it's like thumb has been severed and all this stuff. And this movie was originally up for an R rating, and it's like the movie is fine and I like it how it is, but I was like, man, like there's no way that this didn't get cut to be PG-13 because they were worried about how many people would go see it if it was R. And I kind of wish that we had gotten like this unique vision of like an R-rated kind of brutaler Batman, because you're gonna have all, now it's just like, oh cool, so he cut the guy's thumb off but I don't get to see it. Like, I don't know, like just show me more of the, if you're gonna go dark, go dark, don't go yeah. dark and then pull back on me a little bit,
yeah, because they
just
go
like, do the thing.
I mean, they go super dark with the Riddler and all of the killings that are taking place in Gotham. And if this had an R rating, we could have really had some really cool scenes. I think we could have really went deeper into the darkness of the Riddler, even deeper into the darkness of, you know, this Batman in particular. But what I was going to say earlier though, is one of my biggest gripes about Marvel and DC and these kind of like franchise films is they spend too much time inside the movie worrying about the next movie. They lose focus of what they're there to do. And this one is no exception to that. Even though I still enjoyed the movie, I really liked it. I don't like it when these films try to give us little Easter eggs or teasers so we go and watch another movie. It's like, you can just do that. You don't have to tease us and then this one that you're going to make a Catwoman, or, you know, maybe one where, you know, the Penguin's the main villain. We get it. We know it's going to happen. Just let us enjoy the universe that you're building now.
Yeah, I do like, and it is like a double-sided coin, because I thought those characters and performances were good. I thought Zoe Kravitz was really good as Catwoman, and I liked her character. And it's funny because I liked the inclusion of the Penguin, even though my friend from college brought up a really good point. He was like, that guy was pretty much there just to like make jokes at Batman, and like, you know, he doesn't really, you could have like replaced him with Falcone and kind of just cut out the middleman.
Yeah, there could have that could have been one character,
right? And I do think Falcone is like actually my favorite performance in the whole movie. John Turturro as Falcone, I thought, is so grounded and realistic as like something where it's like I could be watching like The Sopranos right now. Like this feels very realistic.
It
and
was
I really, really like that character.
Easily the best performance in the whole
thing. I would agree with you guys, but imagine Brad Garrett is Falcone.
Ray, I don't know who that is.
Ray's brother on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh.
I don't know, Robert.
That's all I could think of.
I guess it's more Ray than
is
Ray.
If Brad Garrett was Falcone, it was laughing because he's in all those Jimmy John's commercials now, so I'm seeing him a lot more. And now, he's that mobster guy. So
I gotta say, Commissioner Gordon, who I need to look up the actor right now so that
Christopher Wright, well. I think.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright, that's it.
Reminded me of you, Jesse. And there were things that he was doing in his performance that I've seen you do like comedically, and it threw me off so bad. Like whenever him and Batman are talking, he got super close to Batman's face and tilted his head, and he's like, "What are you saying?" And it was very like over the top. Like I get it, it's this detective noir thing, and I like that. But that performance was almost like campy to me, and I was like, I was looking at him doing it.
The whole movie was campy. If you don't see it through that lens, you're gonna hate it, right?
Well, that's the big issue. Is like, this whole time, the big joke that for me before seeing this movie was like, oh, finally we get a dark, gritty Batman. Like it's not the movie that we've been getting for 10 years. But then I was like, okay, well, like what's, I love Batman Returns, and that's like a very comic book looking movie, and it's very goofy and silly. And I was like, what is the opposite of this? Like, if they didn't go in this direction, what direction would they have gone in? And it would have been this, like, Marvel movie kind of wink-wink, nudge-nudge humor. So in that sense, I guess I'm glad that I got what we did, because I do like this better than I like the stuff that's like, that just happened, like that kind of humor, you know.
I'm excited to see where they take this world now, because yeah, DC's really... DC, we all know, has been behind the eight ball a lot. I mean, Marvel's already so far ahead of them, and most DC movies, well, hate to say it, suck. But it's nice to, hopefully this is the kind of resurgence of some DC, because after everything said and done, DC is my favorite of the two. I would prefer to watch more Batman movies and Superman and Flash and Green Lantern. But if they were darker and not as comic booky as Avengers, I think you'd really like tailor to a crowd separate. Instead of trying to go after the Marvel crowd, just go after the comic book. Like,
get the people that Marvel leaves behind.
Exactly. That's what you have to do.
Well, and it's interesting because I was just, when we talk about this potentially being R-rated, we covered the Suicide Squad when that came out, and that was an R-rated movie, and I feel like they maybe weren't as confident in it, and that's why they hit HBO Max with it. It was also earlier in the, not early in the pandemic, but it was earlier than it is now, so that could also be a reason. But it's interesting to see that movie is like kind of goofy and lighthearted, but it also did the R-rating thing where there's like heads exploding and stuff like that.
But so, you can tailor to every crowd, though. I mean, you could tailor. No, I mean, that's what the cartoons are for. The cartoons and the TV shows can be for, you know, the kids to really get engaged. And then, you know, these movies coming out, really tailor them to the, you know, the kids that grew up on this that have now have a different taste.
I'm always rooting for DC because I feel like people are going to say it's silly because, of course, DC is this big Warner Brothers affiliate and it's a corporate thing still. But I feel like Marvel movies, while they are more consistently good, where people enjoy them more, they feel more factory made to me, where I feel like DC takes more risks. And so they fail more often. But when they fail, it's because, like, they tried to do something right.
Jesse,
I want them to succeed.
I feel like it's, you almost have it right. DC tries to take risks, and then at the last minute, they decide, no, oh my God, no, why would we ever do that? And then they undercut all the, like, creativity and, like, the single vision that they had.
I don't think that's DC. I think that's Warner Brothers that's doing it. I don't think it's, like, the DC outlet of them. I think that Warner Brothers wants to meet other bottom line, and once the director has an idea, they're pushing them into a different direction, at least from what I've heard.
It's kind of that piece of, like, where does one begin and where does one end, because it's the same way Marvel is Disney now, you know, like, and everything is calculated, and there's TV shows on Disney Plus that tie into movies, and that is the biggest, the hardest thing for me to sign on to, the biggest thing keeping me from really loving Marvel stuff, is that I feel like it is difficult for me to pick up, like, all right, so what if I don't want to watch
WandaVision? Yeah, because everything gets connected.
I don't feel like watching this series. So then, like, when I go see Doctor Strange 2 or whatever, am I going to be fucking lost because I accidentally missed the last two movies? You know?
A little bit.
That's kind of what bums me out, and that's kind of why I feel like I wish people were a little more, let a good thing be a good thing. Just give us a good movie.
Yeah.
If we like it, we'll come back to the next one. Yeah.
And I mean, I hate to bring it up, but it's the elephant in the room. But, like, the Joker, you know, like, standalone, good movie. Like, you know, like, artful rendition. It wasn't trying to please anyone. You know,
had the balls to do something different.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I would say too, like, if you're gonna tease, like, A, the teaser thing sucks, and then, but also B, it's like, do I really need to see Batman fight the Joker again? I know that people love that character, but you have all of Batman to pick a villain from, which is why I was glad we got the Riddler in this one. Yeah. But it's like, really, you have to give people Joker next? Like,
well, I mean,
it might not be. That might just be a little.
It's something that people are expecting, right?
I think it's going to be the Penguin. I think the next film is going to be the Penguin for sure.
Speaking of which, That was Colin Farrell. I don't know if you guys knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Performance, because you cannot. That is like definition of acting, and it's a weird, bizarre thing because I'm like torn between that's an amazing performance because I would have no idea that that was him, and then also being like, it kind of doesn't matter that it's Colin Farrell because I have no idea that it's him. You know, like I don't know. Like it's cool, I guess.
Yeah, no, I had no idea until the credits rolled, and I saw Colin Farrell. I was like, "Who did Colin Farrell play?" I was like, "Oh my god!"
But back
and
to
that'll
the...
be a good villain. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'm just saying, back to the Marvel thing. Even Jesse and I, when I first got home today, we both were like, "That new Morbius trailer looks like shit."
It does, and,
and like that's what we're getting now. It is a factory. It's just, how do we set up one thing to lead to another to get to our big payoff, and then, you know, we start the machine all over again. Boom, 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 big, and then go back and start it all over again.
Without getting in trouble, I can just say that if you look into things that have been said about Jared Leto by many women that were not 18 online, you will start to wonder, why did Marvel not vet this new star for their big hit movie more? Because I have a feeling that in the coming year, we will have some unsavory news about Jared Leto. And as a company, why would you not want to protect your brand?
They're too big to fail.
Yeah.
They cash in and drop them.
Pick a better actor to if you're going to risk it all, like, don't risk it all on Jared Leto.
I just want to talk about Batman, man. I really don't want to talk about Jared Leto. Let's get back to Batman.
But I just had to bring up that Morbius thing because it was fitting for what we were saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dark, gritty superhero trailer while I'm here to see Batman, but like, I wanted to watch vampires, a vampire movie, I just go watch Blade because that's the only good one.
Let's talk about the Riddler a little bit, because that's kind of one of the things that we haven't touched on yet.
That is a good sticking point for me as well.
Paul Dano plays the Riddler in this film. I thought he did a good job. It didn't really stand out to me the way that Bane or Heath Ledger's Joker did. Like, it didn't really stick with me in that sense. Or even, like, I thought his scene where he's very emotional in the jail, it's like, I thought that was good, but it wasn't the kind of thing where I was going to walk away and be like, oh my god, he just blew my mind kind of thing. I do think my favorite part about the, including the Riddler, was the time he said, "Riddle me this, Batman. Why I fall asleep with itchy asshole and wake up with stinky finger." I think my favorite part, it was the third act twist of the Riddler having this following of people in Gotham that all kind of dressed up like him and did this imitation thing. For me, that worked quite a bit and pulled me back into the movie, into being like, okay, I really like what they're doing with this.
I think a lot
so
of
I enjoyed that.
Paul Dano, I think he did a good job, but 80% of his scenes were, we watched it through a cell phone. So he didn't really have space to kind of act out the scene. It was basically just like, if we were to film whatever, we have to film stuff for you. It's like they filmed Paul they filmed him over Discord or something. That's what it seemed like.
The two times that I laughed during this movie, one, the Riddler FaceTimes Batman. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then the other time is when they're in his apartment and the guy goes like, oh, he's been posting stuff online. This guy's got like 500 followers. I was like, what a chode, dude. I was like, he has no followers. Like 500, that's rookie numbers, baby. Like, what are you so worried about?
Yeah, isn't the population of Gotham like 10 times New York City?
Right. Yeah, but all 500 of them showed up at the end, though.
Which is insane, because, yeah, it's like, all you go on 8chan right now, there's a million alt-right.
Listen, it's like Firefly fans, right? There's not a ton of them, but they are very, very dedicated.
Oh my god.
We know some. Who is? Yeah, whatever. We don't need to talk about Firefly. But...
I felt like the villain was meant to be, like, they tried really hard to make him seem, like, incredibly vicious. Right?
The realism, you know, aspect. If they tried to go after, like, the almost, like, domestic terrorism kind of guy.
I liked it. It definitely, I will say it worked. I know that it probably doesn't work for a lot of people. It's just after seeing a lot of superhero movies, the way they played that villain, I really liked it.
I think they wasted their opportunity with what they were trying to do. And this is going to go back to, like, how I think the movie wasn't focused. Like, at the end, they kind of paint the Riddler as the foil to Batman. So, like, Batman says he's vengeance at the beginning. And then, oh my God, this villain is the same person as me. He was an orphan, and he's also after vengeance. So how can I be Batman and fight the bad guy when I believe the same thing as the bad guy, which is, like, the whole point. But they don't really do any other work to pitch that except for the mask comes off scene. And I'm like, well, like, if you're going to take the time to make that a point and use that to your advantage, like, you have to build up to it, because it's too complex of an idea for the audience to wrap their heads around in one scene. Whereas he's like, oh, I'm an orphan too. And, like, I feel like all of that was, they just threw it in the last 45 minutes of the movie and expected it to still stick. And if they had taken the time to develop it, it would have been incredible.
Yeah, no, I mean, I personally liked, sorry, I wasn't expecting Aaron to walk away there, but I liked the Riddler. I think if they would have, they definitely didn't do him justice, I feel, no pun intended there. I really would have liked to see them dive a little bit deeper, and I think the rating kind of held them to their own constraints. If this was an R-rated movie, we could have really seen some cool stuff from the Riddler, but with it being PG-13, I think they kind of held back a little bit. I mean, the most gruesome thing we see from him is when he first uses the carpet, tool to smash in the mayor's head. That's really the most, the most gruesome thing we see. Yeah. And we're meant to believe that he's supposed to be this, like, villainous, gruesome killer.
I think to compensate for that, they did the rat thing.
Yeah.
The rat face. Mm-hmm. And, like, while that is gruesome, my head is like, how can you put that, like, imply that someone's face is getting eaten off alive by rats and give something a PG-13 movie? And, like, even just implying that, that's like horror. That's, like, truly horrifying. But it's but you can't show, you know, am I allowed to say an areola? There we go.
That's a good word. Yeah, sorry, for eagle-eared listeners, I just took a phone call and exited the podcast for a moment, but I came back to a perfect point because I took a note. I took a note probably like 45 minutes into this movie where I said, "Oh, this is just like a Saw movie." Like I was like, "What?" He's literally setting up traps
for people. Why'd you say that? You're right, though. No, I hate that you said it, though.
Not only that, but if you watch, nobody else gives a shit about this, but if you watch, like, probably, like, Saw 5 through, like, 7, like, those, like, three in particular, the shit that
people are going to know what you're talking about.
I know, right? Yeah, if we're lucky. The shit that he makes looks the same. Where it's like this weird, like the lighting on it.
The bomb, when they go through the church, that looked like a straight out of a Saw movie.
Well, and so I don't mind that, but I think that it's funny that this thing from a shitty horror series that, like, everyone hates is, like, transplanted into a superhero movie that everybody likes, and everybody's like, wow, it's so disturbed, and you're like, buddy, come on.
But it is. I mean,
of course it is. It's just funny that, like, one thing where it's, like, used kind of, like, properly.
Ooh, in a if horror that's movie, not the horror guy getting mad at you coming out.
It's just so funny. People are like, this shit sucks. And then they see like, they see one competent director use it as a thing for half of their Batman detective movie, and they're like, they nut in their pants.
That was the most movie guy I've ever seen you go. You're like, oh, well, they don't appreciate it when they do it in Saw 7, but you bring it into a Batman franchise, and that's pretty, everybody likes that. But no, when they put the rats in his face in Saw 6 and the halfway mark.
We should mention the bomb around the neck, and I checked Wikipedia to make sure that this was not.
It made me think of your guys's hometown.
Yeah,
well, that's
where it came from.
That's where it came
pizza
from.
Bomber.
The Brian Wells pizza bomber case. If people don't know, we won't spend time on it. But there's a good Netflix documentary on Netflix called Evil Genius, and you can also read about it online. But that is pulled from an actual true crime story in our town.
A ridiculous true crime story.
Honestly, the closest thing, I was just talking about this for a minute, the closest thing to a real life kind of Saw thing I've ever heard of, because it's like a weird contraption thing. And it's interesting too, the Riddler was pulled, his design and the way that he's interacting with and targeting people was pulled from Zodiac Killer, the cryptograms and stuff.
I don't know, man. I think that they literally, like Zodiac, obviously, but then right into Jigsaw, like the character from Saw, you know, he's killing for like a righteous cause that he believes, right?
Right.
And he's doing it from his hilltop, you know, like he has all these similar like personality traits to the Jigsaw Killer. But one of the things that I really wish that they had done, because like later in the movie, you find out that the weapon that he uses for the first murder is important.
Right.
It plays a part later, a very minuscule part, right? It doesn't actually affect anything. It just lets Batman go, oh, I guess we are screwed then, because it's already happened. But, you know, they like tied it back. I feel like that would have been something that, like, if you're going to make like a big mystery detective movie, you got to like plant clues. You can't just plant details, right? You can't just use details in a way that is impossible to anticipate and be like, it was a mystery. It's like, oh yeah, I mean, I understand that we saw that item before, but that's not like clever story writing.
There has to be connective tissue, kind of.
Oh,
we see it a lot through the movie, though. That's like a central. We see that a lot. I mean, he does it when he goes into the car. We see it at least three times in his killings.
It is very funny to hear Robert Pattinson, his Batman voice, go, thumb drive. and hold up a severed thumb.
That was that's funny. Like, that's legit. Like, even in the context, that is funny.
You guys think that, like, of all of the Batmans that we've seen, need to do our favorite, but
he's still saying Val Kilmer.
Which one, like, how do you think that he stacks up amongst the titans of Batman?
Like performances?
Yeah, just performances.
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this, hot take. I don't think Christian Bale really had to act to be Batman. I think Christian Bale was just in a suit, and I feel like being Batman's not really a lot of acting. Is that a hot take?
No, I don't think that's a hot take. People always make the and maybe I'm not a comic book person or as cultured, but people always make the difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman. But I don't think you're playing two different people when you're playing those characters. You're playing Bruce Wayne in a Batman suit.
No, you're playing Batman in a you're playing Batman in a Bruce Wayne suit, which is
what this
movie, you know, was trying to do a little bit.
I think play them both separately.
In this film it definitely felt more like Batman was the real bat, you know, like that was the real character, and Bruce Wayne was a mirage.
But that's good though. We've seen, that's what, back to my original point, we've seen so many of the Bruce Wayne storied Batmans. It was nice just to watch Batman. Yeah. Because we've seen it a lot of times where it's like, oh, Batman's at a, you know, he's at a party. Oh no, something's happening. He's got to go change it. But we only saw Bruce I'll Wayne a couple times, and I like that.
No one's showing up to the movie to watch Bruce Wayne.
Exactly.
Right.
I'll tell you what. I checked out of Dark Knight Rises I don't like that movie. I know that we're not here to talk about it, but I like Dark Knight. I don't like Dark Knight Rises very much. I do like Bane, but. The moment I checked out of that movie, and I got worried, because it happens in this movie for a moment too, is there's a scene in Dark Knight Rises where Bruce Wayne does his taxes. And in this movie, they mentioned something to Robert Pattinson about, like,
his accountants are coming.
I know it's like a 3-hour runtime, and I'm sitting there, and it's like 30 minutes in, and they go, your accountants are coming, and I was like, oh no. It's like, oh god, no.
That reminds me of like an amazing Futurama bit where it's like a choose your own adventure in a movie theater, and it's like, would you like to watch Calculon have a high speed chase to the fire in his supercharged, you know, motorcycle? Or would you like to watch him file his taxes again? That's like, oh man.
I mean, that's one of the things that I liked the most about this film. It was a true Batman movie. It wasn't, you know, we didn't have to sit through Bruce Wayne talking to a girl or having a cocktail or going to his, you know, 1,000-plate dinner. It was kind of nice just to see Batman operate within the night of Gotham. We never really saw the day. It was just the night. That was cool.
It was a really good moment. That, you know, so I felt like Alfred was used as a story device, and he didn't really get the what's his name, Andy Serkis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't really get, like, a real opportunity to do anything, like, really impressive. But there's a really short moment in the movie where he's going out, or... he's about to go to like the funeral of the mayor, and Andy Serkis is like, you're not wearing cufflinks.
Yeah.
You know? And like, it's like, I don't need to wear cufflinks. He's like, no, take my cufflinks. Like, these are your, you know, like, you can't go out without cufflinks. And that was like a really, like, there was a lot of character development in that one little moment, because it shows that this rich billionaire kid doesn't care, you know, like he doesn't care about keeping up his persona as Bruce Wayne. Right. And it also goes to show you that the only reason that Bruce Wayne still exists is because Alfred exists. Yeah. Alfred is the only thing keeping Batman pretending to be Bruce Wayne. And like, he had to acknowledge his fear of you know, Alfred dying in order to reintegrate and let go of the vengeance in order to become human again and, you know, become triumphant and self-sacrificing at the end of the movie. But, you know, cufflinks.
Yeah, no. For sure. I think Pattinson did a good job here. He didn't particularly like blow me away, and I don't mean that as a detriment either, because I think that's kind of a common theme with this movie. I would say is that I thought everything was like good, and that there was just kind of a lack of things that really like really kind of blew me away. But I thought that Pattinson's performance is good. I don't know that he would be like my standout Batman or anything. I don't even know who I would pick. I know that you said Val Kilmer. I got to revisit those movies because it's been a while since I've seen them. It wouldn't be Clooney. Christian Bale, I have like my pros and cons on.
Mine would be Keaton.
I do love Keaton in the sense that he is like just kind of a weirdo in those movies. Like, his Bruce Wayne is, like, just guy that refuses to leave the house and is, like, this hermit kind of thing, which we do kind of see a little bit in this one, except it's darker. Mm-hmm. And so what I kind of was thinking was, like, all right, so I don't want this Marvel version of this movie. What do I want out of a Batman movie? And I was trying to just think of, like, what kind of comedic regular guy actor as, like, a Keaton replacement could I cast today as a Batman person? Hit me with it.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell as an aging Batman is not bad at all. That's good. I like that.
Do that. Yeah. Or Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd might have the chops to do that as well.
Paul Rudd could do it. I also think that people are going to hate this because there's all kinds of canon and I just don't know any of it and I don't care. But I was like, when the Riddler is sending all these like messages that are like no personal information about Batman and all this stuff, and Alfred opens it up, I was like thinking like nobody knows him. Nobody knows Batman or Bruce Wayne more intimately than Alfred. And he's also the only person that knows his secret. So like, I want a Batman movie where we get Alfred as a villain. I want Alfred to be the guy that's pulling some of the strings. Oh. I think that would be great. Other people would hate it, but I think it'd be great.
Yeah, nope.
All
right, fuck off. All right. Well, I think that's, I went through my notes. I think that's most of what I have. He walks really slowly. I did write. I wrote when he walks.
They could have cut about 8 minutes from the movie by how slow he walks.
That's because that suit was so tight. You couldn't move any quicker.
That's the other thing I wrote was I wrote literally in my notes. I wrote like really like he it's all right. It's 2022.
Even in his moves in the fighting, he's just like.
We can't get this dude some like bulletproof like formal wear. Like, he can't unbulk some of that. Like, he's got to walk around like a fucking block, like a brick wall everywhere he goes. Like, come on.
Also, I do think that is part of the persona, though, that is meant to be lifted by the end, is that he is the monster in the monster movie, right?
Right.
So he's the thing that's looming in the dark, and all you can hear are the footsteps. Right.
Well, and you get a lot of like validation of that from the people in Gotham, because even though he is well intentioned, you get from everywhere, you know, from citizens and from cops being like, "Who's this freak?"
Yeah,
going around kind of thing.
Which is how people would react if you dressed like a superhero.
The only point in this film where I laughed out loud is when he runs down the building.
Oh yeah,
that crazy.
That didn't.
I think that was a callback to it. Like,
that cracked me up the way he was just like,
dude, this movie knows. I have to give credit to this movie for knowing like what is ridiculous about just Batman as like a story and a character, like acknowledging kind of the ridiculousness of superhero stuff. Because when he jumped off the building and had like the flying squirrel suit thing, I was like, this fucking sucks. I hate this. And then he immediately eats shit. And you're like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense because that's what would happen. And I, you know, like,
I was waiting for there to be like a whole arc of him like recovering from that accident. Like when it happened, I was like, oh, okay. So now we gotta like see him like get back to into strength. It was like,
I will say though, as much as we probably would have been in for it, I am glad that we didn't have to like watch Batman get taken down and then go through a whole like arc of rebuilding himself again. Just like I didn't want to watch Bruce.
Doesn't he do that in Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, he does it like all of them when he's training down in the pit.
Dude, the same thing with the Penguin. The Penguin survives the most like insane car crash I've ever seen in my life. A man in perfect health, by the way. The Penguin.
That was the one thing, is like they had this crazy high speed chase and like the Penguin just like gets in the car and like goes like right at the very beginning of the whole thing. And I'm like, they crash. I'm like, thank God he put on his seatbelt.
Right. He's just upside down and he's like, I got you, you motherfucker. And you're like, what's going on here? The other thing that I read on Twitter that was just funny as an observation was the Penguin caused like a 20 car pileup And they interrogate him, and they find out that he, like, doesn't have the information they want, and they just let him go. just left him there. He's like, what? Yeah. Nobody's going to untie me? Wah, I'm the penguin. Yeah,
families have been destroyed. Countless people are dead and injured. You know, like, it's going to take weeks for that interstate to be opened back
up. Batman does kill a man in this film, though. I want everybody. He kills one of the guys up top. He shoots him right in the chest. When he whips the gun around in one of the fight scenes, he whips a gun around and he shoots it, and it kills and it knocks the one guy back. I don't know if it kills him, but it definitely shoots him right in the chest, and he falls off the whole entire rafter.
That's interesting, because I specifically thought after the Catwoman scene where he's like, "Don't shoot that guy," I thought they were trying to make a point of him being like, I don't kill people.
Oh, well, that's Batman in general. That's like Batman's thing. He doesn't kill people.
But not Ben Affleck's Batman, because Ben Affleck's Batman kills a lot of people.
Well, I mean, Ben Affleck kills a lot of people. So,
well, in real life. We're coming to the point of the show where I'd like to thank Jesse for coming on. Got to wrap this up, boys. We got to wrap this train up. But we appreciate everybody listening to our Batman episode. Jesse, we appreciate you coming on. Let us know, everybody. Hang on. Let me talk, Jesse. This is my time.
I'm sorry.
Let us know if you guys would like to see Jesse return on future episodes, since he is involved in everything else that Lomo does. If you'd like to see him come on our new movie episodes on Thursdays, which are also sometimes on Saturdays or sometimes on Fridays, our second episode of the week, depending on when we get him up. Let us know. Leave a comment. Message us on Twitter. Because definitely would like to have Jesse on more. It was fun, my friend. Thank you.
Yes, and I also, before you give your farewell speech, I want to say we've been meaning to have you on for a minute, and we did talk previously. You and I both love bad movies. Perchance, we will talk about this off air. Maybe on weeks where we're not discussing new movies and we need a filler, maybe you're our go-to guy for picking out a bad movie for us on streaming to watch and covering.
Right, so I can, my parting wish, as thankful as I am for being here, I would love for you to rewatch Batman Forever with Val Kilmer. It would bring so much joy to my tiny, oversized, cholesterol-filled heart.
Just like a monk vows celibacy, I now vow to never watch another Batman movie.
It is streaming on Hulu right now for folks that are curious.
Thank you guys for having me. I hope I didn't breathe too loudly into the microphone. I get very flustered.
That's my job.
Thanks again, guys.
You can find Jesse at Lomo Media. That's where you can find Jesse. Normally we let guests plug themselves, but hey, he's one of us. I have to stop saying it like that.
You really do. We did the same thing when James was on.
Yeah. Did they make that? Yeah. Okay.
But he is. He's one of Lomo Media's finest. So you can catch him this Friday in one of probably the funniest sketch I think we've done in a while, where we do a parody of Ghostbusters. So.
Very excited toast, for that.
Toast Crusters.
Yeah, it's just honestly, it's just a video of Jesse and I eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch together until we cry.
Sounds entertaining. must watch entertainment. I do want to say, so we usually end this by deciding whether or not we run a bar in this podcast, and we decide whether or not we would let the characters in, and that's kind of whether or not we give a recommendation or not. Jesse, I know previously you said that you did not. You didn't say explicitly you didn't like it, but you said you didn't want to shit on it. And I think we actually had a really good conversation today. So I'm curious. I would personally, I would invite Robert Pattinson and Zoe. I keep wanting to say Zoe Saldana, but it's
Kravitz. Kravitz. It's Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Yes, I would let them both in. I liked this movie more than I didn't. Some gripes for sure, but I enjoyed it. I'm assuming it seems like Jimmy is probably in the same boat. So I'm just curious what would you do, Jesse? What's your recommendation for this?
This is a tough one for me. It is a movie that I would recommend watching because we all know there's going to be spinoffs, right? So just to see it before it happens. But I don't know if I could ever watch this movie a second time. So I will open the door and I will greet you and I will tell you that we don't take solicitors.
Okay. That's a very good.
Nice.
Okay. So, to wrap up the show then, next week we are going to be watching Aliens, and on Thursday we are going to be watching, the new horror film on Hulu, Fresh. So check those out before next week. If you like the show, first of all, thank you for listening. If you want to help us out, we'd love it if you could join our Patreon. If you have a few bucks to spare, if you don't, thank you for listening anyways. And you can share the show with a friend. You could share an episode you like on social media. Or if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, that would be super helpful to us and it would help people find the show. Jimmy, why don't you tell them, first of all, let's thank our patrons. And why don't you tell them what they can get if they throw us a couple bucks?
Yeah, we'd like to thank Dylan Painter and Tyler Buckley. Thank you so much for supporting us and all that we do. You can join them and get behind the scenes photos of our video shoots, behind the scenes videos that are only exclusive for our patrons, and some other additional content as well. All of our money is going to get Aaron health insurance and Jesse beard oil, since he's letting his beard grow out for a whole entire year. So that's where all the funds are going, is beard oil and health insurance. So you can help us out, greatly appreciate it. But most of all, it helps us all here get one step closer to our dream of becoming full-time content creators, YouTubers, and filmmakers as well. So any bit that you can donate is greatly appreciated.
That's about it, folks. I think that does it for us here at the Loma Lounge. Thank you so much again for listening, Jesse. Thank you again for coming on the show. And I'm sure that we will have you on real soon. We'll see you guys next week with Aliens and Fresh. Until then, get the fuck out of my bar.
Get out.
Have a great one, guys.